This Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. Stay up to date on the bullion market and changing coin values with the PCGS Rare Coin Market Report. Simply sign up with your email address on pcgs.com/rcmr to get the daily report sent straight to your inbox. Hi, Dan. Thanks for joining me on the Coin Week podcast.
Hi, Charles.
So I got an email from you a few days ago, and you mentioned that collectors of modern coins might want to check out an auction that's going to be conducted next Thursday, because artist Glenna Goodacre, whom you manage, will be offering a number of important pieces, including never-before-published works related to her process in designing the Sacagawea dollar coin. Please, tell our audience a little bit about the auction and why it's being held.
Sure. Glenna is retiring, or has retired, from making sculpture. She's decided not to to make any more art, or just for her family, not any art on a commercial scale or anything. So we put together, this was actually my idea a couple of years ago, we put together a retrospective auction. There are 130 some works in the auction. Some of them, one of them is 14 feet long, weighs 2,000 pounds. There's a huge Sacagawea, 8.5 feet high, weighs over 1,000 pounds. But then there are smaller things. There are, a number of things from the coin process of designing the Sacagawea dollar that we were involved in from 1998 until 2000, designing the obverse of the Sacagawea dollar. There are three studies in the auction from that project, and then there's a great little kind of Victorian parlor sculpture that is a sculpture of Sacagawea that actually holds a dollar. There's one of the original presentation dollars from when Glenna was paid for doing the design. She wanted to be paid in her own dollars and not just receive a check. And so Philip Deal, the director of the Mint, other Mint officials and a couple of guards came out to Santa Fe and gave her 5,000 of her Sacagawea dollars. That was on April 5th in 2000. And Glenna only has, she had two of those left, and one of those is in the auction in its original slab. Most of our preliminary studies went to the Smithsonian, and if people go to the American History Museum, they will see Glenna's sculpture tools and a couple of the Sacagawea dollars and one of our plaster preliminary designs. You'll see there in the numismatic collection that's at American History at the Smithsonian in D.C. Most of the studies and drawings and things went to the Smithsonian. We had one drawing that was not round. They were interested in the things that were round and coin-like. So we had one little beautiful pencil drawing. It's 14 by 11 inches, and it's a preliminary study of Sacagawea and Jean-Baptiste, her infant son. That's in the auction. And then after the coin process, Glenna was dying to do some three-dimensional tributes to Sacagawea, and so some of those, there are three smaller sculptures, and then the huge towering 8.5 foot Sacagawea Jean-Baptiste is in the auction too. So for coin people, it could be pretty interesting. There's a very interesting, real early preliminary study that is high polished. We cast a study of Sacagawea Jean-Baptiste from one of our coin designs, and then polished the metal to kind of see what the design was going to look like in the new coin that was going to be this golden alloy, golden colored alloy. And so there's one of those in the auction. There's also there's a terracotta version of the coin, and it was another preliminary. The early studies we made, the mint said, nope, not going to work. It's too fat. It's too thick. The relief was too high for a coin, and so we started over. We actually sculpted it, I think, half a dozen times, and then the mint, incredibly and unusually and probably unprecedented move on their part, they let us market those preliminary studies. I think to make up for the incredible amount of time we spent on the project and then, you know, with no other income from other projects. But so then there's a bronze, one of the last, this is the second to the last design that we did. There's a bronze version of that called Dollar Coin Design that's in the auction too.
You've been Glenna's longtime friend and business partner, so outside of Glenna, you're probably the person with the foremost knowledge about the design and how it came about and the aftermath of its launch. What was it like contributing your part to the great debate as to whether this country should have and can in practice use a dollar coin?
Well, the dollar coin part, we didn't have much of an opinion or feeling about that, except that the Susan B. Anthony dollar was such a disaster. People thought it was a quarter, and it was often mistaken for a quarter, and the mint finally stopped making them, and so they needed something to replace that. But we first read about, Glenna saw it in USA Today when President Clinton had passed the bill creating this coin, and it was going to be a different color, a different color coin, different size, so it wouldn't be confused with a quarter or with Susan B. And so there were three contenders to be on the obverse of the coin: the Statue of Liberty, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Sacagawea. So Glenna and I, we thought, well, gosh, if it's going to be Sacagawea, we want to be the ones to do it. Because Glenna had a long career of doing Southwestern and Native American subjects. She'd done a lot of bas reliefs and reliefs and medals and other relief material. And so we just thought we were naturals for that. So we watched it closely, and then when they announced it was going to be Sacagawea, we wrote a letter to the Mint Deputy Director John Mitchell at the Mint. We wrote a letter and asked to be considered in the competition for the coin. So we were there from the ground level, involved in the coin process. And we did a lot of different designs. We submitted like a dozen designs. 121 designs were submitted. I can't remember how many artists were involved. Maybe around 100 artists. 121 designs. The Mint picked. They chose six finalist designs for the obverse of the coin, and five of those six finalist designs were ours. And one of them was a tribute to James Earl Fraser's Buffalo Nickel. It was a profile of Sacagawea with her braid, and it was a tribute to James Earl Fraser because we really liked that coin and liked the strong relief in that. And so it was not chosen. The Mint, uncharacteristically, they put up a website and they asked for public input on which design should be the dollar. And they got, I think, over 100,000 hits on this thing, and everybody, most people liked Sacagawea and the baby Jean-Baptiste. They got a lot of votes. And so that was going to be a stretch for the Mint because there had never been an infant on a coin to start with. And then the other challenge was it was a three-quarter relief because most coins are a profile, and this was a three-quarter portrait of the young Sacagawea. And we had found incredibly here at the Indian School in Santa Fe, we found a Shoshone college student to model for us and we found an 1804, you know, Lewis and Clark period beaded dress at a remarkable Native American antiquities gallery here in town. And so we had some great stuff to work with, and I think we ended up with really great designs, obviously.
Well, I have to step in and say that there was one other infant before the Sacagawea dollar. In 1937, the Mint released a half-dollar commemorative coin in honor of the Roanoke colony, and the infant Virginia Dare, the first English child born in the British colonies, was depicted on that coin.
Oh, we didn't. You know, we tried to research that, and we never came up with that. That's amazing that you know that. Well, that's great. The Roanoke half-dollar.
But you would have to be a collector at the time or part of the celebration to even know about that piece. It was struck as a souvenir and, for the most part, never actually circulated as money. I wanted to ask you about the design. It seems that one of the buzzwords that gets bandied about these days, and I'm not much of a fan of it or the argument behind its critique, is the word cultural appropriation. When I look at Glenda's design, I see respect for the subject that goes beyond Sacagawea's ethnicity and speaks to the universality of a young woman and her child. This is a different face of America's indigenous people that stands in contrast to some of the fetishist art or caricature art that has been produced over the years, including art, I might say, that has appeared on our nation's coins and paper money. How important was getting this representation right for Glenda as an artist?
Well, she's done a lot of Native American subjects and Central American, a lot of mother and child topics. That's one of her favorite themes in her work. And so it's more about mother and child than it is about portraying any particular tribe or anything like that. And, you know, we're in the Western art world. We've seen plenty of cigar store Indians and other similar kind of stuff rendered in bronze, you know, and we certainly didn't want to go that direction. So we wanted a lovely young mother and for her to be, you know, a little more universal than depicting any kind of one particular tribe or anything.
Did Glenda get any feedback from indigenous tribes in appreciation for the depiction?
Everyone liked it. The only, we got lots of fan mail from Native Americans. There were lots of Native American people at the unveiling at the White House. The only problem we had was that there was a contingent of Shoshone people up in Idaho who claimed to be descended from Sacagawea, and they thought we should have used was a member of that family as a model rather than the model that we chose. But the thing is, we didn't have time to look around for models, and our model Randy was right here, and we you know, there wasn't very much time to complete these designs and get something acceptable to us and to the Mint. I think we had a month or less to do this.
But it's also important to note that there aren't any historical depictions or photographs of Sacagawea that survive.
Nope. No. I think there are photos of Jean-Baptiste, but not anything of Sacagawea.
Did you ever spend any of these coins?
Oh, sure. we got lots of coins in the beginning, just for fun, from the Mint, and we were helping to... we were helping to get them out there, and mostly in the East, we would get them back in change in vending machines and things, which was really great fun for us. Or a lot of times, I'd get them back at a car wash as I was traveling around the country. But, the dream of the Mint, as you probably know, was to phase out the dollar bill, and they had been looking for, the right popular replacement to not print the dollar bill, because they actually lose money on the dollar bill. They wear out so quickly, and they cost a lot to produce. So they were hoping that Sacagawea would be that coin. And Philip Deal had a very ambitious marketing plan to get those out in the world. You know, when they first came out, they were in boxes of Cheerios all around the country, and they did a lot of promoting and advertising of the coin. And so we had them, and we spent them, and it was really fun to spend a coin, you know, that we had designed. And we still do that. I mean, we still use them and have them, and it's really fun to get the different reactions from people. But the thing that happened is people would get them, and then they would get them in change, or they'd get some at the bank, and then they wouldn't spend them. They'd keep them. And so it was a popular coin, but it didn't circulate like the mint had hoped. And then Philip Deal, President Clinton retired him kind of in mid-process of that whole marketing. And so they didn't get to realize this or fulfill their vision of replacing the dollar bill with a popular U.S. coin.
Deal actually was a casualty of the Monica Lewinsky scandal in the sense that he was replaced as a political favor to a Democrat representative that voted against the impeachment in the House.
Right, exactly. And we were very sad about that because Philip was smart, ambitious. He did great things at the Mint. He did that state quarters project. And we were really sad and disappointed when that whole thing happened. And of course, the casualty of that was the Sacagawea dollar and the disappearance of the dollar bill.
You brought up the Cheerios promotion. It turns out that that's quite a rare coin, as the United States Mint put out a version of the Sacagawea dollar that had extra detail on the tail feathers that were not found in the coin's normal reverse, which makes the Cheerios dollar different than the regular issue. This fact went undiscovered for several years until specialist collectors started to look at them closely and realized, whoa, this is different than the standard release. So that coin now sells for thousands of dollars. And I think if you ever wanted to find a way to organically lose hundreds or thousands of rare coins, inserting them as normal coins in cereal boxes for kids seems like the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure most of those were lost. And so there aren't very many out there, and I'm sure they're very valuable. But in the beginning, when they were developing the coin, they tried all kinds of different things. And so there are some, you know, there's a lot of variation out there in those early coins. And then our presentation coins, those had some kind of special treatment that we didn't even ask for or know about until later. But, there are lots of variations in the early coins.
So this coin was issued at a time when the coin industry had just started taking a real interest in modern coin issues. And so I'm sure this presented a number of opportunities for you and Glenna to work on or decide not to work on. One of these opportunities that I know you guys did partake in was the signature label program that Glenna did with ICG. What was it like having this newfound celebrity in the coin world? Was it different than what was going on in Glenna's career in the traditional art market?
It was a different world for us, and it was interesting for us to be involved in that. And Glenna was a celebrity in this separate world. And so in the year 2000, we went to some coin shows, we autographed a lot of stuff, and then people, you know, we got a lot of hundreds, you know, thousands of email requests for autographs and stuff. And then we just put the word out towards the end of 2000 that we just weren't going to autograph any more stuff. And we were going to go back into the studio and get back to work. So our coin celebrity period was sort of ended there. Because we didn't, you know, there that's not what we did. We made big public art and sculptures for galleries and homes, and we weren't in the coin world. We just were in the coin world. The coin universe there for just that brief period.
How did creating the Sacagawea dollar change the azimuth of Glenna's career?
Well, she was really well known before, mostly because of the Vietnam Women's Memorial that we had done in the early 90s. It was unveiled in 1993. So she was very well known in U.S. history world and in the art world already. So the coin deal, there was a little bit more recognition in the art world, but there was a lot of recognition in the coin world. And of course, you know, we're not part of that. So we tried to kind of back out of that as graciously as we could.
Well, every artist wants to be remembered and have their work distributed, but very few artists get their work on hundreds of millions of pieces of art.
Yeah, we carry them in our pockets, and we, you know, we hold them up at events, and we say that it's the smallest sculpture we've ever done, but it's the largest edition.
So tell me a little bit about the auction, and what was the extent behind yours and Glenna's involvement in putting together this sale?
Well, we really worked hard on this catalog, and there's some great written material there. There's great written material and photos about the coin project. So I think people might like to have this catalog. Glenna's introduction is really, really great, and then a lot of the comments about the pieces in the catalog, and it's a high quality, it's perfect bound, it's 72 pages in full color with hundreds of illustrations, and so it's a great booklet. Whether people are going to participate in the auction or not, they might want to have this book. And there are two ways to get it. I think you can go to www.glennagoodacreauction.com and you can access catalogs there, or you can call 480-945-0225 and acquire a catalog that way. They're $40, and it's a great book for $40.
What are the price range estimates for the pieces in the auction?
Well, it's, you know, from $500 to $500,000 and everything in the middle.
So there's a little something for everybody.
Yep.
And Dan, when will the auction be held?
The auction is April 6th at 5:30 p.m., and that's 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. They don't do daylight savings time in Arizona. So it's at 5:30 Arizona time, and one can there are three ways to bid online, and one can watch the auction live online also. You'll see those details at ScottsdaleArtAuction.com or GlennaGoodacreAuction.com.
Well, Dan, thanks for joining me, and good luck with the auction, and please give Glenna our best wishes.
Okay, Charles, we'll see you around the campus.
Thanks. If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. Remember, you can download all 60-plus episodes of the Coin Week podcast for free from the iTunes Store. If you're over at iTunes, please leave us a review. Your comments and feedback do help us improve the program. For Coin Week, I'm Editor Charles Morgan. Until next time, happy collecting.